Well, data from smart devices like watches and phones and home speaker technology is increasingly featuring in the process of solving crimes, experts say. It drew particular attention during a recent murder trial in South Australia where the victim was wearing a smartwatch, which was used by prosecutors in their evidence. Caroline Winter reports.
29-year-old Caroline Nilsson was accused of murdering her 57-year-old mother-in-law, Myrna Nilsson, and then staging a home invasion to cover it up. The trial in the Supreme Court heard she was found bound in a state of hysteria outside her home in Adelaide's north in 2016, telling police she'd been held hostage for 3 hours by up to three men. But prosecutors alleged the data from the victim's Apple smartwatch tracked her last movements, recording a flurry of 65 movements in 39 seconds before her heart rate stopped at 6:41 p.m. on that day. They alleged the watch, which documented the death, didn't match the accused timeline of events. The defence couldn't dispute the smartwatch evidence. They accepted it, but said it wasn't Caroline Nilsson who killed the victim. During their closing address, prosecutors outlined all the pieces of circumstantial evidence against the accused, and the smartwatch data was one element of that. The defence closed by saying his client was a loving mother who had a good relationship with her mother-in-law and there was no evidence of animosity between them. After 8 weeks of evidence and 5 days of jury deliberations, the jury told the judge late on Tuesday night a verdict would not be reached. Now prosecutors are considering whether to pursue a new trial against Caroline Nilsson. It's an interesting case as it's among a growing number that are using data from smart devices to help shed light on details or potentially solve crimes. It's something I spoke to Damien Manuel about. He's director for Deakin Centre for Cybersecurity Research and Innovation and the chairman of the Australian Information Security Association.
I think we're going to see a definitely rapid increase in the trend of those devices being used because it really helps to aid law enforcement, particularly during investigations. And all that information in terms of where people travel, where they go, what they're doing, their activities, even having a mobile phone, all sort of lends itself to data points that could be used by law enforcement.
So do you expect that the use of this data could become as perhaps revolutionary as DNA in helping to solve crimes?
Definitely. I think what's going to happen is we've already got some legislation in Australia. One is around metadata, which, you know, for 2 years, the telcos can record everywhere you've been, when you've taken your mobile phone, every time you've made a phone call, the duration of that call, who you've spoken with, any internet browsing in terms of the sites that you visited, etc. That's all stored and retained for a period of 2 years, which can be accessible by different law enforcement agencies. And then you've got another piece of legislation in Australia called the Telecommunications and Other Amendments Bill, which also gives law enforcement, if you like, and certain government agencies the ability to gain access behind encryption, if you like, and to sort of break encryption systems to have a look at communications that are being exchanged between potential criminals.
So the flip side, of course, is the potential for hacking and privacy issues. How secure are these devices?
The security of these devices really varies quite a lot. So it really depends on the device, the manufacturer, and I guess the country of origin. So if it's a device that tends to be very cheap and disposable, it's not necessarily going to have the security controls.
So to reduce our vulnerability to risks in this space, the federal government's introduced a voluntary code of practice to help make devices more secure. How do you rate this code? Is there enough protection? Does it need to go further?
So it's a good step in the right direction. Because it's a voluntary code, it really has no teeth to it. It doesn't go far enough to protect consumers.
Damien Manuel from Deakin University and the Australian Information Security Association, Caroline Winter, our reporter.